glad that everybody came. And if we could just start with prayer. Let's say the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're really excited today to have Marilyn Wilkinson here to talk about Lent. She's put some wonderful things together, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of background about Marilyn, for those of you who might not know her. She describes herself as a Roman Catholic, homeschooling mother of six blessings.
Most of the time.
and wife to a wonderful man who keeps her laughing and enjoying the journey. She loves her faith and the richness of the liturgical year, tea and literature, music and art, healthy living and cooking, and spirited discussions on all kinds of things.
Except maybe politics.
Except, yeah, politics is probably not so good right now.
Thank you. And thank you for having me back. I really love doing the Advent one, and I love Lent. I'm one of these people who absolutely loves Lent, so I feel so glad that I can come and share. We have so many family traditions, and I won't say that everybody in my house loves Lent, but they love things about Lent. So, but I'd like to start by reading a quote by Maria Trapp from her book that I mentioned on my last talk, Around the Year with the Trapp Family, which I put a link in the notes for. You can read it for free on EWTN.com. If you can get a used copy, if you know how to get old books, it's an amazing book, just an amazing book. But this is what she says about Lent. We should all get together and work towards the restoration of the meaning of Lent. People nowadays see it as just a gloomy time full of must-nots. That is a great pity because Lent is a solemn season rich in hidden mysteries. We must also keep in mind that Lent is only a part of the great Easter season, that it is for Easter what Advent was for Christmas, and that Lent taken by itself would make no more sense than Advent without Christmas at its end. Therefore, we should let Holy Mother Church take us by the hand and lead us, not each soul alone, but the whole family as a group, away from the noise of the world into a 40-day retreat. No other time of the year has been so singled out by the Church as this, in that a completely different Mass is provided for every single day, beginning with Ash Wednesday and continuing through the octave day of Easter. If we keep the closed time as faithfully as our forefathers did, which means keeping away from all noisy outside entertainment, such as cocktail parties and dances, then we shall find ample time for the imitation of Christ as it is outlined in every morning's Mass. So I just love that quote because I think most of us, especially us busy, tired mamas, would love the idea of quiet, peace for 40 days. And, I mean, obviously this was written a while ago, so she talks about cocktail parties and dances. I think we probably talk about the TV and social media and the noise that's our culture constantly. So as I said, I love Lent. I love that our church gives us a season for silence, for prayer, and for penitence. And I just feel it's such a privilege of being Catholic. It's kind of like with the Protestants, they just turn up for Catholic for Christmas, and it's the same. You just turn up for Easter. I just can't imagine having Easter without Lent. It's just wouldn't make sense. It's a chance for us to withdraw from the noisy, clamoring world and from the craziness of life. We have the opportunity to stop and reflect and take the time to develop good habits in our spiritual life and in our physical life too. It's a time to assess our spiritual health and identify the areas that need change, things we are too attached to, things which we're doing which are destructive to us. As with Advent, there are many traditions and practices to adopt for our families. Lent is not a time to just grit our teeth and suffer through and hope it passes quickly so we can eat candy or whatever it is we've given up. Our Holy Mother Church gives us a chance to really step back and intentionally renew ourselves and our families. And I truly feel, I don't know, 2016 was such a crazy year, and I just am thinking 2017 is not looking that much better. And I think Lent is such a time for us to focus on renewal and prayer of ourselves, because there's not going to be world peace until we have world peace in our families. And I don't know, that's hard enough, having peace in our own families. So And when we go to Mass, you'll hear the homilies. Lent is the time for prayer, penance, and almsgiving. Those are the three, like the trio, the Lenten trio. So many of the practices I will talk about center around these three things. And you have a handout here where I've summarized kind of what I'm talking about, so you don't really shouldn't really have to take notes or anything. So that's a summary of kind of living Lent. And then I've got ideas, prayer ideas, fasting, almsgiving, and then it's kind of a lot, but I've made a list of all the books we have, and we have a lot, but my oldest is 20 years old, so I've been collecting books for a long time. So every year we add more books, and everybody makes their personal Lenten reading list. I've got music lists, and I've got other things which I will refer to in this handout. So I hope it will be helpful to you. My kids like the last page probably the best, which is the Lenten pretzels. It's like, is it Lent yet so we can have our pretzels? I'm like, yeah, that's not quite so penitential, but yeah. So, so starting, the first thing for children is it's great to have a visual countdown for Lent, because if you say to them 6 weeks, it just seems like a year of Sundays. It just seems forever long. So that's from Catholic Icing. I know a lot of you know the site Catholic Icing, and this we have permission to print this out for individual or nonprofit use. So we've got one of those in there. My kids love to color it in. So they usually color it in purple, and then they'll color in Laudate Sunday. I never remember which one it is. Yeah, Gaudete Sunday, Laudate Sunday for in pink, and then the reds for Holy Week. But it's just a nice way. They'll go, oh, wow, we're that way through already. So I've included that calendar in there. I also have the 40 crosses, which my kids like to do. That's from Loyola Press. And for this one, we were allowed to print it out, I think, for personal use, but we're not going to include it as a handout because we don't know if we can publish it on a website. But I have a link to it in here in case you want to pass it on to anybody. And it's really nice because they get to color something. They do one thing each day, a color for saying an extra prayer, helping someone, making a sacrifice. And especially the younger kids, it's nice to have something visual of what they do. And just for you, I made a calendar because I like to see entire Lent on one page. So I just put in all the feast days so you can plan. I use that, and I will pencil in what books we're reading or crafts or to remind myself that we're going to Mass or whatever it is. And, you know, those of you who are really high-tech can probably make your own. I just like it on one piece. I like to be able to see 6 weeks on one piece of paper. So I have that there. But kids really do need to see it visually because it just really does seem long. If you say, oh, we're giving this up, you know, for this long. And another great resource for kids, if you're okay with your kids going online, is Chris has printed out the flyer. Do you guys know about Holy Heroes? So they have an Advent adventure and they have a Lent adventure. And you just go in and sign up with your email, and every day you get an email. And it's literally 5 minutes for your kids, because I'm really fussy about my kids of any age being online. And it's a video there's a video every day, and then they have like word searches and coloring pages. If there's a feast day, they'll have an extra video. They're just really nice. I've actually met them in person at a Catholic conference. They're just a big family that does this as a ministry. So there's Advent Adventure, there's Lent Adventure, and you sign up now, and then you'll start getting the emails probably, you know, just a couple of days before the Sunday. They also, just in case you're interested, which is not to do with Lent, is they have the same for Sunday Mass. So what we do is, like, so that our kids focus on the Mass, on the Friday we have, like, our gospel tea, but we'll watch that video. So they go into Mass on Sundays, and they've watched a video about the gospel, and it helps them to kind of focus a bit more. But again, as I said, I'm very fussy about kids being online, but this is just an exception. I think it's 5 minutes, and you're off day. So, and you can do it on a tablet or a laptop or anything. I have had my kids watching from 2 and 3 up. I mean, with an older kid, not on their own, or I'm sitting with them. But especially if you're just like learning some of the traditions, like, and feast days yourself, it's nice because they'll go through it. I mean, I usually sit and watch with my kids. What's really nice they have as well, they have a great, which I'll mention later, Stations of the Cross CD. And they have wonderful saint CDs. We have all of them, which are called, they used to be called something else. They took them over for, I think, World Mission, and they're Holy Heroes saint CDs. and they play excerpts on. So, for example, when you're doing the Lent one, they'll have them free online, and you can listen to like a decade of the Rosary. They have the Sorrowful Mysteries usually in Lent, and they do them with all sound and effect, which is really nice for kids. I love their Stations of the Cross. They'll do the Stations of the Cross. So it's nice being signed up. So you can preview these things too and see, oh, do I really want to buy it, you know, or just do it. I mean, I haven't bought some of them. We've just listened. They'll have, like, I remember 2 years ago they had Saint John, the Saint CD on John Paul II, and you just listen for 5 minutes a day, which was kind of neat. So my kids usually do that first thing in the morning. As soon as breakfast is over, they're like, can we do Holy Heroes? And they'll get that down, the little ones. So that's a nice thing as well, because they trace, that goes all the way through Lent. And they'll suggest things, like they have a pretzel, like I've got a pretzel recipe. They'll suggest pretzel stuff. They'll suggest sacrifices. They'll have lots of other things, you can, printables that you can have. And they're doable. They have like 7 or 8 kids, so nothing is like super hugely difficult to do. They also sell some resources, which I've never bought, but you know, you can preview, and they give you the freebie versions of them, like a workbook. They have different books which go through, so your kids could, instead of doing it online, could do it just in a book. And they have a roadmap. I think we did once. It's called a Lenten roadmap, which is kind of fun. But it's better to both buy those in bulk, like churches buy them and do them. But I highly recommend it, signing up for that. So I'm going to start off in our Lenten trio to start off with prayer, because Lent is really the time to focus on prayer. And if you guys are like me, as moms, it's so difficult to just make the time to pray and just make that a priority. And so Lent is a time to spend time with God, both individually and as a family. In the handout, I've listed ways we can pray in Lent. So if you turn to, I haven't actually numbered the pages. Where is my prayer one? Just different prayer practices we can take up. And I start with daily Mass, because that is the highest form of prayer. And if it's too difficult for those with young children, at least take up an extra day's Mass or an extra couple of days' Mass. And we don't do it every year, but we've done it several years. And what we've done is we've gone to a parish near where my husband works, so he joins us during his lunch break, and it's a noon Mass. So the noon Mass is often a lot easier than trying to get out for 8 o'clock in the morning. But it really has, and as a homeschooler, you know, people are like, you are so lucky you can go, but it's also kind of hard because then you have to get back to it, and everybody thinks their day's over. But we truly have seen blessings in the years that we have done this, and it's not easy. And I know, though, with little ones, like I only have one in a car seat now. I've had 6 in a car seat at one time, so it is hard. So my view is, if you're going to commit mortal sin to go to Mass, then, you know, I guess that's a problem. But I know some of you do it here, and I think it's awesome, you know, getting 4, 5, 6 kids, young kids, into a car seat. But Mass is probably, the daily Mass is the best thing you can do. Another thing is to start a weekly or a monthly holy hour with your family. Or if you have little ones, start a holy 15 minutes. You know, I would just say to my kids, Mom wants to talk to Jesus for 15 minutes. And I think I mentioned this last time. So when I had my last two is when we really started doing it. And I started them on 20 minutes. So I think they're only a year apart. And I think one was 3 and one was 2. And I said, Mom wants to go and talk to Jesus for 15 minutes. Can you just give me that time? And we went, and they had like books to read. It wasn't like I was expecting them to sit there. They had little Bibles. And then at our 15 minutes, we got up and we started walking out. And my 2-year-old like yelled in the quiet church, Mommy, Mommy, I don't want to leave. And I'm like, I'm just like, and she goes, I don't want to leave Jesus. And I'm like, you know, I think if we instill this at a young age, I really believe that what they do at a young age, they're going to continue. So if we don't do this with them when they're 1 and 2 and 3, and, you know, absolutely grin and bear it through Mass through the really tough times when they're babies, it's, you know, why are they going to do it when they're teenagers? They're just not going to. So if you could start it, I mean, we do a monthly holy hour through the year. In Lent, we try to do a weekly. We don't always. And then another great devotion, which again for kids is wonderful because it's so kind of tactile, sort of, is the Stations of the Cross. And most parishes, I presume everyone here is from Our Lady of Hope. Our Lady of Hope does it every Friday night. And it's just like 20 minutes on a Friday night. And I know my kids love the Stations. And I have a couple of books that we use that you're welcome to use up. So I've usually gone through the Stations with my kids. We've literally had these for like 15 years. So that's one of my favorite ones. That's there. And if anyone's Spanish, it's half in English, half in Spanish, like all of this series is. That's another really good one. But there's tons of different Stations of the Cross books that my kids bring with them. But we love the Stations. And the other thing is, But I have had Lent. I've been pregnant for most of my pregnancies have been through Lent, and I would be on bed rest or just too sick or with new babies. So what we did is, and I forgot to bring those with me, is you can get stations. I have beautiful Stations of the Cross prints, and I would put them all around my dining room and kitchen, and we would do our own Stations of the Cross on Friday night. And one of the really cool things to do is to do it by candlelight. So we would have candle and then blow it out at the 12th station when Jesus dies. And everybody, I mean, I just believe kids rise to the occasion. When there is reverence and there is quiet and there is peace, they will rise to the occasion. So I've only really been doing the Stations of the Cross after my youngest come in like every week, because when I had a ton, you know, because 7 o'clock in the evening, if you have your kids in bed by 7 is hard. But if you can do it just for a Friday night, I just know that for my kids it's a highlight. And it really isn't that long. And Our Lady of Hope does it beautifully, except maybe not the Latin one, because that was, I think, 1.5 hours. So maybe, you know, 1.5 hours. Did you come to that, Erin? The 1.5 hour one last was beautiful, but it was really long. It was long.
But the longer the better.
Yeah. Yeah. Even my teenagers mention it. It's like, whoa, that was long. But where was I saying? So that's the Stations of the Cross. Another thing we do is to do you can just start your daily family rosary. I'm sure most of you say the family rosary, but it's, especially this year being the 100th year of Fatima, we really try to make it a priority. And I have to tell you that we always do it after dinner, and often Mama's the first to fall asleep on the couch. So, you know, but as Father Saunders said to me, an angel finishes the rosary off for you. That's what he said to me. So there you go. But try and do it. But what I did when my kids were little, like yours, I saw somebody gave me this idea. Some mentor of mine told me, you don't have to say it all at one time. So I would do like a decade at one time and a decade here. And we do the rosary through the day, but it was when it was hard to do, you know, just to sit down. And I mean, it just inevitably happens. I have like when I had baby number 5, he was the one who would get up on the coffee table and start performing as soon as we started rosary. Or something else would happen and somebody would cut their head. And there was always some reason, you know, to try and stop it. But again, now it's, and then when they get older, there's distractions too. So it's never going to be the perfect time. It just isn't. But I think this is a great year to start the family rosary. And I mean, I don't know, this is digressing a little, but there were certain things I did to make the rosary like more alive for the kids. I mean, there's lots of CDs, but I made a binder. I still have it, and I can bring that to something else I bring, is where I got beautiful rosary prints wherever I got the Stations of the Cross from. And we had them there, and we set them on like a tabletop easel, and the kids would turn them and just seeing a picture. You know, when they're doing and meditating, doing a scriptural, there's a scriptural rosary for kids book, which, so it's not just empty words, but they're really understanding them. Again, candles. Lighting candles has a very great effect on kids. If you're worried about the flame, if you have crazy guys, just do an LED candle. I have crazy guys, so I know. But just doing that, the rosary is a great time in Lent, and I know there's a lot, I don't know if you guys have heard, there's a lot of incentives for this year up to Our Lady of Fatima. To, you know, to pray the rosary every day. There's a 50-day rosary novenas. For those of you who are very tough, there's the Nineveh 90. But I think all of you are probably young moms and, you know, either nursing or pregnant, so you probably don't want to do. I could do the Nineveh 90, and I'm thinking, ooh, 90 days, no sugar.
What's Nineveh 90?
So Father Richard Heilman, if you Google Nineveh 90, it's just basically it's between 90 days of prayer and fasting, like Jonah, in the time of Jonah for our nation. And it's between February 13th, and I forgot it started February 13th, and I ate 3 cookies. And I'm not pregnant or nursing, so I could give up the cookies. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it started already? Just the idea of no sugar for 90 days is just killing. And it goes up to May 13th, so it's like just the 90 days before Our Lady of Fatima. But it isn't about just about eating. It's about true prayer and repentance and praying for our nation. And I think we can all agree we've got to pray for our nation. Some other prayer ideas is a consecration to the Blessed Mother. And
you said something about fasting, either pregnant or not. So what's the official on that for Catholic?
Okay, the question is the official Catholic position on fasting and praying when you're pregnant or nursing. Now, I am not an expert, and I don't know if somebody knows the catechism. As far as I understand it, it does not apply when you're fasting or pregnant.
True.
I never, ever did. I mean, I just couldn't do it, you know, and just as it is. So, I mean, that's the case. That's why I said I kind of feel bad about talking about fasting when I get to it with your room, because when you're nursing, you just don't. But some other prayer ideas, I said the consecration, and I believe Our Lady of Hope is starting the consecration with Father Farrell, and they're talking about it tomorrow night. I have to tell you that when I did my consecration, I did what I call consecration for dummies. I meant to bring the book with me. It's Father Michael Gately's 33 Days to Morning Glory. I would study it like every time I was pregnant or nesting, and those prayers grew longer and longer and longer, and I never ever finished. So I actually only did it a couple of years ago, but one of the really nice things is to do it as a family or to do it by yourself. The 33 Days to Morning Glory is very doable, and then we would have a pilgrimage at the end. So for mine, we went to the Basilica and we had Mass. I did it for the Feast of the Assumption, and we went to the Basilica. Though I think if I renew, I'll do it for the Visitation, which is my favorite feast day. But that's another thing to do over Lent. And in the handout, I've put the dates. So if, two dates for the consecration. You could start on February 20th, which is what I think Our Lady of Hope is doing, which will be for the Feast of the Annunciation. Or you could start on April 10th for the Our Lady of Fatima, which might be a nice one to do as well. And if anyone's thinking of doing it, I have a really cute book as well to try and encourage kids to do it. And it's called... and I just forgot what it's called. Just Like Mary, that's what it's called. It's a little book. It's an old-fashioned book, but it's really nice for kids and encouraging kids to make a consecration. Some other prayer ideas that I have there is the St. Joseph Novena, very powerful novena, especially for our husbands and for the church. And that starts on March 10th and ends on March 18th, and I have links to that. I use the EWTN one. But you can also, if you do Pray More Novenas, do any of you do the Pray More Novenas, you can also find shorter ones because a lot of the EWTN novenas are very long, but you can always find abbreviated ones to do with children. And then the Divine Mercy Novena, which I just love. I always have that on my calendar. Starts on Good Friday. So, you know, just take your calendar. And, I mean, you're not going to do all of this, but, you know, I always just go through and choose some of the things you can do. And then linked to prayer is some of the richness of the liturgical year. In the Advent talk, we've had a lot of symbols and traditions. In Lent, it's a little more simple. But there's certain things you can do. Like, for example, a lot of families bury the Alleluia. I don't know if you've heard about the custom of burying the Alleluia. So basically, you don't sing the Alleluia through Easter, except for the Solemnity, until Easter, through Lent, except for the Solemnities, because it's an Easter word. So a lot of them in the traditional, I don't know if any of you have ever been to the traditional Latin Mass. It used to be, they've already started pre-Lent for the, you know, the days when everybody really did Lent. It's already pre-Lent. But they would really bury, they would have letters, bury the Alleluia and dig it up again on Easter morning. So ways that we've done it is you can get in Michael's or Joanne's, they have like those wooden letters. So one year we had them all, we painted them purple, put them in a box and actually buried them in a yard. But we've also just written it, Hallelujah, on a piece of paper and hidden it. I wanted to show you this. I think this is what my daughter Anna is doing this year. Did I just put it down? Is I can't remember where we found this from. It was from one of the Catholic sites that was a printable. So she's printing these out and sticking them on purple paper and laminating them and then threading them through and putting them in a box. I don't know if we're going to bury them or not. But the kids love it because they always say, oh, wow, there's no Hallelujah, Mom. And I don't know if anybody was in Friday Mass. The school mass last week, they didn't do the Alleluia. And all my kids are looking at me going, why? And I actually didn't know. I don't know if it was a mistake or there was a reason. They didn't do the Alleluia. They did the Praise to You, Lord Jesus Christ. But kids are really into noticing things like that. So that's kind of a fun thing to do. And again, you could just hide the box like in your hearth or something. You don't have to bury it. Another thing is you can do is to set different colors. Like, I don't do catechesis of the Good Shepherd, like where I send my kids, but I do have some of the ideas about making everything really at their level. So we had a prayer table. I finally, my youngest just turned 7, so we took it off, but we had all different colored tablecloths. My daughter sewed them, my oldest daughter sewed them, and we changed, it was a big thing to change to the purple tablecloth. And then have you guys heard of Father Oak? We used to have a Father Oak. So it was like you make like a priest and you change his vestments to the color of the season. So we would do that. And then we would cover our statues for entire, here they do it for Holy Week. We would go around and either cover the statues and crucifixes in purple or tie a ribbon, a purple ribbon on if you can cover them. But again, for the kids, that's a very visual sign. And we use the purple tablecloth. I mean, I've never found really nicely, truly purple. I've sometimes been a bit violet. But if you can sew, make your own is what I would say. And then there's also some feasts to celebrate during Lent. I think it's a sign of mourning. So that's why if you notice, they do it in Holy Week here, all the statues are covered up. I mean, I don't know the exact, like the big, like, you know, the right answer, but I know it's because mourning, it's a sign that, you know, Jesus is going
to
die.
We're supposed to be longing also for them to be returned to us, so it could be cover it for just a short period of time and then just return it on Easter. That's supposed to be that much.
And there's not as many feasts as there are in Advent, but there's St. Joseph, which is the big feast. And I think here they're celebrating, they do the St. Joseph's altar, and it's going to be on a Sunday night. I don't know, is it the 19th? It's not the 19th, it's the 18th. I think St. Joseph's might be. Oh, I could look at my calendar. So St. Joseph's Day is actually on a Monday. I think they're doing it on the Sunday night. But Our Lady of Hope is the only parish I know that does, excuse me.
It's a really beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful. And until I came to Our Lady of Hope, I'd never seen that. I was so bowled over because we would do our own St. Joseph's altar. And they do a beautiful celebration here. So it's only, if you want to put it on your calendar, but I think it's on the Sunday night, the 18th. And then there's St. Patrick, which I kind of dispute on. It's not a solemnity. That's what I always tell my kids, because it's on a Friday. And it's not a solemnity. We don't get the meat exemption on St. Patrick's.
Unless you go to the parish that's called St. Patrick.
Patrick, so it's, yeah. So there's St. Patrick's.
So
I don't know, you went to St. Patrick's in Tampa?
In Florida, I got married in St. Patrick's.
Oh, wow. And then, so there's St. Patrick's, and then there's the Feast of the Annunciation. We just love, we really love the Marian feast days. So we really, it's a holy day of obligation, and we often take the day off school for that. And we cook liturgically, so it's a great day to have our white and blue, whatever we have. So those are the only feast days that we really celebrate in. But I put some other saints on the calendar. And if you guys go into things like Catholic Cuisine or Shower of Roses or Catholic Icing, I'm sure they have lots of ways to celebrate all the other saints too. And then that brings me to fasting, so we're going to talk about that. So it's so funny, because normally I want to stress like that we become kind of wimpy, because, I mean, the Bible does talk about prayer and fasting, but it kind of got dumbed down that it was not really fasting and you can fast. But for you guys, it's different, because it really doesn't apply if you're pregnant or nursing. But I thought I'd go through some of the things we do. And I've also heard this, like, people, you know, like, your fasting should not be your family's penance. So I've heard of mothers who, like, given up coffee and nearly killed their kids or whatever. I mean, the purpose of the fasting is to bring us closer to Jesus. And if it's not doing that, then there's a problem. And also, what are the ways to fast with young children? Because obviously, like, I have very, very thin children. So fasting is just not an option to ever, you know, do. But, I mean, they'd be thin whether, I mean, they eat all day. So it does nothing to do with what they eat. But, you know, it's just how to fast. Now, I just thought I'd give you one of my favorite quotes from Pope Benedict XVI, where he said, "Through fasting and prayer, we allow him to come and satisfy the deepest hunger that we experience in the depths of our being, the hunger and thirst for God." And I just really like that, because I thought that's why we fasted, so that we hunger and thirst for God. And so here, what are some of the simple things we can do? And if you look on your handout, I have some lists on there of things we could give up. So, I mean, the church asks us to give up meat on Fridays. You can take more days, like we do Wednesdays and Fridays in our house. You can give up snacking. There's obviously Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, which are fast and abstinence, which, again, probably don't apply to all of you. But even for kids, I do try. So we don't give up snacking completely, because my kids don't eat a lot, and so they do eat between meals. But I keep telling them, there's a really good book called French Kids Eat Everything or something. It's just very good. Is that what it, and it's actually very, if it's, it's really very good, and it's, I lived in France and I can attest to it, is that they really, it's not like you consciously don't eat between meals, it's just they eat really good meals and they eat everything. I mean, I have a child who 5 minutes after eats nothing and it's like, I'm hungry, you know, and she wants to eat again, but it's a good way. So what we do for us snacking in our house is we try not to have any processed snacks. So we have cheese, fruit. So we don't knock out snacking, cheese, fruit, water, even bread, but just no, like, cookies, crackers, anything that's bought as a snack. So anything that's made is fine. But, and then we try not to, because my kids think we deserve dessert with every meal. So we try to do dessert just on Sundays or feast days. So that's just, which I don't think should hurt any kid, but that's just a little thing. And I do consciously simplify our meals on there. And I actually have, because I do, I've already done it, I have a Lenten meal plan. And so, because for me, simplifying meals, I don't mean I don't worry about it and plan for it and shop all the time, except for I have some bananas. So I have a plan and I have a shopping list, and actually my husband will often pick it up, because if he goes to the grocery store, he goes for half an hour. If I go, I go for 2 hours. But we try to simplify it down, and you know, I've just done a lot of research. I'm kind of hesitant to mention there's something called a rice bowl, but I wasn't absolutely sure about, like, where they donate their money to, so I don't want to promote that. Unless I haven't found out, I'd like to know. So it's CRS Rice Bowl, and a lot of parishes do it, but I had heard something, so I don't really want to say anything about it. But their website is nice for simple recipes, so I will say that. So they do a lot of meatless, and they have really nice videos. So say you're going to have, like, we love Dominican Republic black beans and rice, and then there's a little video that you can show your kids about it. But, you know, so we try to simplify down, because it cracks me up. Even today, I saw the lentil adverts from restaurants, because it is supposed to be penitential, but all they're doing is going for, like, let's go have shrimp and scallops. You know, it's Lent. Put out your menu so you don't lose money. And I'm like, that's not the purpose. And so, you know, the whole purpose is simplifying on there. So the other things is fasting from alcohol or no candy. So we do no candy in our house, which I'm really glad to have the chance to actually do that without being really mean. And then we try to not buy anything processed. And we do try to do it that we simplify our budget. So it's not a case of just doing it. Because I think now, often fasting is tied in with dieting, which is a completely different thing altogether. Fasting has nothing to do with that. And then we try to save whatever money we've done on our grocery bill, because you can usually see it, and actually, especially on the snacks, because the snacks are the expensive thing, and then try and donate that. And we all donate to a charity, so everybody decides who we want to donate to. But then, you know, there are the other things to mention, which is snack, which, I try to tell my kids by. There's, you can fast from social media, movies, unnecessary shopping, books which are not religious, cursing, criticizing. I tell my kids no whining, laziness, gossiping, texting. So I've given you a list there, so it doesn't have to be food. And for the kids, I actually try and have them to take up something that is not food, like, you know, the whining or social media or something like that. I have a really, really good friend who has 10 children, and she loves Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but I'm still friends with her because my husband is, so I can see what she's doing. But she gives up Facebook except for Sundays. And she told me the first year she gave it up, she literally stayed up till midnight on the Saturday night so she could go in. But it was just very funny. But bless her, she does this. You know, she gives it up, and she lives in a rural area. But, you know, so it hurts. I mean, so giving up Facebook wouldn't hurt me because I don't have it. But, you know, it's got to be something that definitely is penitential. And then, so I do have the meal plan if anybody wants to see how I just plan it out. I mean, you may not like to eat what we eat. But wherever my meal plan is, I have it somewhere. Oh, it's here. So I didn't put it in the list, but I do have a meal plan. So I actually plan my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the way we do it is we keep breakfast the same. Like, it's always the same on Mondays. So the breakfasts are the same. The lunches, and I always give choices, because I'm the kind of person I look at, I think, oh, boring, I don't feel like having this. So I always give myself two or three choices on a day that we have it, but it definitely simplifies it down, and it's easier on your budget, too. Oh, and I forgot to mention on prayer is that we have a prayer calendar, and I nearly put this in, but you had so many to print out. I have a Lenten prayer calendar because at breakfast, so we always say family prayer together before my husband goes to work, and I literally forget who and what I'm supposed to be praying for, because there's so many people who need prayer. So, like, on Mondays, we always pray for the church, the Pope, our bishops, our priests, our vocations on Tuesdays, and then that way we know what we're praying for each day. And for kids, you know, they like to, one of the kids will do the intentions, so if anybody wants to look at that, I have it here. And then the last prong of Lent is the almsgiving and good works. And that's one that, you know, that we really need to do. And there's different ways we can do this. There's a priest of a church I used to go to who at the end of every daily mass he'd say a prayer that we all went out and God would show us what he would have us do that day and who we could help that day. And I really like that. So I've made that. Because if you look around this, there's just so many people who need help and so many causes to devote. And it's like, even so many people to pray for. Some days when I'm in a rush, I'm like, Lord, everybody in my list, can I just pray for them, please? But it's the same with the almsgiving and the good works. It can seem overwhelming. So he would pray, you know, he would say, pray that each day, you know, God shows you who you are supposed to help today. You know, it might be a snotty two-year-old. It could be, it doesn't have to be someone out of your own house. So the almsgiving is to pray every day. And for those of you who are, you know, pregnant and nursing, that might be the biggest work of mercy you can do. Donate money saved on groceries and other sacrifices to elderly, homeless, or pro-life charities. So some of the ones we've donated to are Little Sisters of the Poor, the Poor Clares, Food for the Poor, Divine Mercy Care and Birthright, and I'm sure you guys all have other lists. I think it's important to do family volunteer work. Like, have your kids involved, even the little ones. Do I need to take a break? Am I good? I just didn't know if we needed to take a break. Are we good? I'm used to it because I always have someone in the background. So donate your money. Invite lonely neighbors or someone from Mass from D. I mean, there's so many people in Mass who you just see them sitting on their own. And I used to be a lot better at doing that than I am now when I was younger. But just say, oh, do you want to come for a brunch or whatever it is? Help the needy in our own family. Sometimes it can be easier to help the poor in Africa than our needy grandparents or whoever is around. One of the things my kids like to do is to, we don't have a lot of homeless people in our area, but they are some. And so they make up Ziploc bags with like hygiene items and bars and stuff. And whenever we see a homeless person who, like, you know, they stand on Route 7, they'll hand them one of the bags. So that's something your kids could do. Take a meal to a new mom. Erin's going to have a baby in Lent. I know that. Or someone who's ill. discuss and practice the spiritual and corporal works of mercy with your kids. Make rosaries and give them away. I know my kids are in Legion of Mary, and that's one of the things they do. And then I know I've been going for a bit, so I'm going to wrap this up quickly. But I just want to mention some other traditions that are for our family. The first is a Lenten reading plan. And this was first mentioned by Maria Trapp in her liturgical year book that I mentioned. And she would always say, I mean, she's got a whole sections on it in her book that you should have, so I'm going to read from it. Something for your mind, something for your soul, and something for your heart. And you should have three books going at all times in Lent. So something for your mind is like something like church history or catechism. Something for your soul is something like the writings of the church, like St. Francis de Sales or The Little Flower. And something for your heart is something like a saint biography or a holy person. So that's where all my book lists come from. That's what we've done. And I've also got some books for you to live in. Like, there's these devotionals. There's a whole stack of them. And I just brought you one of mine to look at. That's a really easy way to have a family devotional. And they also have Bringing Lent Home with St. John Paul II and with a whole load of other saints. But I really like this. It's like literally 2 minutes, a reflection, a prayer, a story, and something to do. But there's also Magnificat. I think the church usually gives us Magnificat. There's Word Among Us, I think some people use. There's a lot of different devotionals you can use. So, but my kids definitely read a lot in Lent, so it's a great time to get your kids. And I have, for those of you with younger kids, I brought some of the picture books just mainly because they're out of print. And if you're going to pay a lot to get them online, just so you can look at them. So that book is about St. Joseph's Day. It's called Song of the Swallows, and it's one of my kids' favorite ones. So we do that one on St. Joseph's Day. I don't know if you guys have seen this one, The Tale of Three Trees, which is just a beautiful, beautiful story. Again, which we also do this on the Exaltation of the Cross. That's a book about St. Patrick. That's a Tommy DePaola, which we've had for years. I wanted to mention this. I don't know if you guys have heard of, Resurrection Eggs? So you can get a set of eggs. I have one that goes with this book, and you read this book like in Holy Week, and your kids get to open an egg, and in each one of them there's like a prop from the Easter story. So that's the book that goes with it. I forgot to bring the eggs with me. Benjamin's Box. I mean, this is definitely from a Protestant point of view, but it's still pretty good. And then this is my favorite Easter book to read, and it's out of print, and I was really lucky. I scored this in a library sale because it was selling for like $500 on Amazon, but I scored it for like $2 or something in a library sale, and it's the Easter story. But now I've been seeing more of them around, so maybe it's coming back in print. That's a really great Easter book. And I'm just going to see if there's anything else. So I'll mention a couple of other traditions before we finish. Scripture reading. I remember I mentioned the Jesse tree in Advent. In Lent, we do something called a Jesus tree. So the Jesse tree is like the lineage of Jesus. It's just a great way to get scripture study in a very quick moment. So we read this at dinner, and it's the life of Jesus. And I actually have just Jesus tree ornaments. Nowadays, you guys can actually go, I think, and buy them. When I first started doing this, it was one company that did it, and they sent me this huge kit of felt. I still have it there. I've never sewn it. I was hoping one of my kids would do it for me one of the days. But what I've done is I've taken the readings, and for those of you who have do you guys have the Catholic Children's Bible? I know Erin has it. I put the pages for the Catholic Children's Bible on there, because that's the one we use. But it's just a great way to go through the life and ministry of Jesus in like a 15-minute Bible reading a day. So that's the Jesus Tree readings.
Is the Catholic Picture Bible the one that they sell at the gift shop?
Yellow? Yeah, the Father Jude somebody, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it is. So that's the one we use. And so, yeah, so I just put where it is. I put the actual, if you want to actually read the Bible verses, but I put the references on there. And then I also have Lenten music, because I think there's beautiful Lenten music. So the Lenten Ephesus CD, I don't know if you guys have the Advent in Ephesus. This is just a beautiful, beautiful CD. And this one is not strictly Easter Lent, but I listen to it in Lent, the Monks of Norcia. And I put on some other listening selections there. And also movies. So we don't give up kind of inspirational movies. Now, a lot of you, you'd have to look at them because some of these might be for older kids. I mean, even I have, like, there's certain movies that we'll, even Jesus of Nazareth, we watch it every year. We never do the Holy Innocents. We go through the Holy Innocents and then the Crucifixion. Kind of my kids wouldn't be able to take that. So, and but it's a beautiful movie. So we watch Jesus of Nazareth in Holy Week every year over like 6 days. On there, and let me just see if there's anything. Oh, I've forgotten about the pretzels. So there's some other traditions. So Lenten pretzels. If you ask my kids, they would tell you that's probably their favorite tradition. So sorry to say yes, but we have them for Friday lunch every day. So they're theoretically penitential, but they're super easy to make. And I put in a recipe there. It's basically flour, salt, water, and then unless you want to dip them in cinnamon butter and cinnamon sugar like my kids do. I do the butter, I don't do the cinnamon sugar, but it's a really easy recipe, and it takes literally, you just do it, leave it to rise, it's one rise, and you don't even need, I use my KitchenAid, but you don't need to, I used to do it by hand. So I put the Lenten pretzel in, just to remind your kids that it's penitential. You could do the prayer with them and explain to them why they're having it's because of the way monks used to pray, so maybe kind of bring in some of the religious element in there. And then for Easter, I mean, all of you guys have young kids, but I'd like to end by saying you need to do the Easter vigil when you can. I didn't do it probably until my kids were a little older, but it truly is the highlight of the Catholic journey. It's just beautiful. So we've done it the last maybe 5 years. I don't think we're doing it this year, but you go through the entire faith journey in one night. And if you ever do that, there's many resources. You really have to prepare your kids for 2 weeks, explain what each rite is, you know, what each different rite is, and what the reading is, and why they're doing it. And the Dominican House of Studies has wonderful resources. They have the, remind me, what is it called? The proclamation, the Easter, the thing at the beginning of Mass, which just sets your heart going on, you know, just makes your hair stand up. We always watch the Dominican House of Studies for that one. So if you're going to do the Easter Vigil, it's really worth taking a couple of weeks and really educating your kids on what all the parts are, so they don't just think it's really long. And I could go into lots of Easter traditions, but I won't, except to mention, because I love my lamy cake. That's my Easter. You can make an Easter, you can get a 3D pan and make an Easter lamb cake. And we do it every year, and I have to tell you, it is just beautiful. It's a 3D one, and so we make that for Easter. In fact, and my kids have told me that when they leave home, I have to make one each for each of them. But each cake takes a lot of cream cheese. It's cream cheese and butter and eggs is what it is. So it's a lot, but it's a 3D one. And you can also get a cross. I usually do that for First Communion, but you could also do it. You can get a 3D cross pan as well. I just brought my Wilton tins to show you. But Easter goes on for so long. The Easter season, I could do another hour on all the things you can do in the Easter season, but I'm not going to do that. But does anybody have any questions? Well, I think you can do Stations of the Cross, you know, even if it's just by yourself. It doesn't have to be with everyone else. I think they can do that. There's also, I'm going to write it on here. There's, you can get, you can watch the Stations of the Cross. If you look at Holy Heroes, I would definitely do Holy Heroes. I would think they would do Holy Heroes. I would think they would do, there's this, some CDs called Cat Chat. I forgot to put them on the list. They are just fantastic. If any of your kids go to VBS, they use them for VBS here. And we've had ours for like, literally ours have fallen to pieces for 17 years. And they have a Lent, an Easter one, which is really nice. And it's just an audio cat chat. And they have the Lent, they have a, I think it's Lent Easter. Get The pretzels, obviously, and you can explain to them. I have links to a lot of coloring pages that you could explain things to. But obviously the prayers are probably really important too. You know, whether they're minute or not, just cut them down. But just bringing them into church, even for a quiet holy hour, you know, quiet holy 10 minutes on there. But I just have never you see, because I have a whole range, I just think they take in tons when they're like 1, 2, and 3. You know, and I see it because my youngest, who's been through all of it, she knew it all when she was 1, 2, and 3. So I think we think they don't get it, you know, but I think it's the same as in Mass, that they really can rise to the reverence. They absolutely can.
Yeah. The resurrection eggs was really good for
Yes.
Yeah.
And you tell the story through tactile. So it's kind of Montessori-like almost.
I didn't bring them, so that's the book that goes with them.
And so what you do is, it's a fictional story. It's called Benjamin's Box. So it's a fictional story, and he's in the time of Jesus. They tell you what color egg. So my kids always fight about who gets to open the egg for that particular bit. So, I mean, we often do it in one go, but you can spread it over Holy Week. That's kind of a nice one to do.
What was the hide of Alleluia? Can you tell that part again?
Okay, hiding the Alleluia. It's basically... No. You do it on either the Tuesday before or on either Shrove Tuesday or on Ash Wednesday is when you do that. Okay, and so what it is, it's because Lent is penitential and Alleluia is an Easter word. We don't sing the Alleluia during Lent except for the solemnities. So it's just a very concrete way for kids to realize it's Lent, but look, the liturgy is different. We also don't do the Gloria, as my kids told me. How come we don't hide the Gloria? I don't know why we don't hide the Gloria. I don't know. So what we do is we just put it in like a box on the mantle. If we haven't, I mean, this year we might actually bury it because my yard's a mess anyway. So we could just dig it up. So you could do that. And so you could just do, as I said, I love the year we did ours purple. I think my daughter now has those. We got those big letters and painted them. And even if you don't hide them, even if you just leave them on your mantle, they're so pretty. You can even just spray paint them purple. But this is what I'm doing this year. So Anna's going to color those purple for me. Those are just letters. I found these pretty letters that you can just make Alleluia out of them. And she's going to string yarn through them, and we're just going to put it in a box. So. If it's great. I know somebody else had a question. Was it Jenny?
I was going to ask, did you ever give anything to other families? Because I've heard some families have been giving out, like, chocolate.
Yes, we do. We give up. So we usually, we give up all candy. We give up candy. We give up dessert except for Sundays. So we do have dessert on Sundays. And so everybody goes into elaborate planning for Sunday desserts. We usually give up, like, movies that are not related to... Like, if not a saint movie or something inspirational as family. We try to do most of it as a family. Now, obviously, coffee or alcohol or things like that are not going to matter. But and I'll do extra things because you can't expect kids to do some of it. Like, I encourage my kids for social media, but it isn't an issue for me. But I nag all the time that that's a good time to give that up, except for Sundays. But, yeah, I think trying to do it as a family. And also stressing the taking up things is great, too, as a family. So... Are there any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you so much. You're awesome.